نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد قال الله تعالى في القران المجيد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد المعدن الجود والكرم اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلي البر الله اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وآله وصحبه وبارك وسلم أما بعد
الحمد لله praise be to Allah. Allah has to us given us the tawfiq to sit down in His dhikr, to be present in His remembrance. All issues, Allah has saved us from issues and problems. Allah has saved us from the evil of shayateen and nafs. Allah has given us the ability to be assembled in His dhikr. These gatherings, these majalis, their objective is only one. That our objective of coming into this world, that we keep repeating that, revising that, reminding ourselves of that. Because nafs and shaitan, desires, shaitan and our circumstances, they make us negligent and lazy from our objective. So in these gatherings, the human being, he keeps on repeating and revising his objective of life time and time again, so that it becomes solidified in his brain. Our objective of coming into this world, that Allah Ta'ala has explained in His beautiful, beloved kitab book, and that is one. To please Allah is why we have come this world. That's our maqsad. That's our objective. And when we depart from this world, رَاضِيَةٌ مَرْضِيَّ فَادْخُلِي فِي إِبَادِي. That we should go in this way that Allah Ta'ala is announcing, that I'm happy with you, I'm pleased with you. Now you go and enter into paradise. This is the objective of our whole life. This is our end and this is our start. That's it, nothing else. That's our real objective, the real start. And Allah Ta'ala, Most High, has prepared and given us the resources for this as well. Allah hasn't just said this, that please me. Rather, Allah Ta'ala has assisted us in that objective. Allah has helped us to get that. That's why Allah Ta'ala revealed the Qur'an. That's why Allah revealed this kitab. It's all here to help us. The how do we please Allah? Yes, that's what the Qur'an tells us. Nothing else. Nothing else. Such a big objective of life, such a big code, that I have to pass away tomorrow, you have to die tomorrow. So if we don't go with that result, رَاضِيَةً مَرَضِيَّ, that Allah is not happy with us, and we depart from this world without that, then what will we have done? Then Allah's not going to ask us, do you have a shop? Do you have a house? Do you have anything else? Allah's not going to ask us for documents and papers. Nothing else. Just Allah Ta'ala says, I'm happy. Did you please me? Did you make me happy? So then I'll be happy with you. Okay, fine. So there's paradise for you. Going to paradise. This is the amal. This is the objective. For that, Allah Ta'ala said, to please me, what has Allah Ta'ala done? Allah Pak has given us amal, actions, deeds. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Amal is not a difficulty. Salah is not a difficulty. Reciting Quran is not a barrier for us, a hurdle. These things aren't a burden or a boulder on our head. And fasting isn't a problem. Hajj and zakat is not a problem. Giving sadaqat is not a problem. Rather, these amal are Allah's ni'mas, His treasures, His grace for us. That via these deeds, Allah becomes happy. MashaAllah. That's it. That's how great a preparation Allah has given us. Do these actions, Allah says, I'll be happy with you. And then when it's salah time, and it's adhan, then hasten, run and leave everything, leave your shop, leave your house, leave everything and run to salah. 5-10 minutes give to me. Allah says, Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. When you depart, Allah says, I'll be happy with you. Yes, every action has this standard. When we keep the fast, Allah has given us this system. So whenever, I'm just giving you a point here, a secret. Secret, shaitan and nafs, you know, they deviate us. Take us off track. Remember one thing, that whenever Allah Ta'ala gives us the ability to practice a good deed, just like you sat here or you prayed salah, you've just prayed salah now recently, sometimes you're doing tasbih, you're doing other actions, whatever action, good deed Allah gives you the tawfiq to do, then one thing definitely bear in mind, I'm telling you now. Definitely bear this point in mind. What is that? That purely Allah Ta'ala has given us this action, then definitely make the niyyah intention and repeat that niyyah, that Allah, the intention I'm making, I'm going for salah, I'm going to pray, that Allah, I'm only doing this action for your radha pleasure and there's no other objective behind this. Definitely repeat this on your tongue. This is very beneficial for the human being. If he repeats his intention, that come, you pray salah, you go, fine, alhamdulillah. But when you repeat and revise your maqsad, because there are thousands of actions that cause a person to do ibadah, many things destroy a person's ibadah, worship. Wahid, only that ibadah is accepted in the court of Allah, which is purely done for the sake of Allah's pleasure. Here, the pious predecessors have written on this point. They state that the best method to make sure you do this, look, you come to pray salah. Inna salata wa nusuki mahiya mamati lillahi rabbil alameen. Clear, isn't it? Allah says in the Quran. Such a thing we have to say. You come to pray salah, definitely say, Allah, I'm praying this salah for you only and that's it. It's a good statement you're saying. And don't look for thawab at that time when you're praying. That, oh Allah, I've come to pray salah for thawab, for reward, or for this reason. After that, I'll get this. After that, I pray, I'll get this thing. Then I'll get paradise. No, even this is for yourself. Even this is greed. There's only one objective put in front of you. Actually, when you pray salah for Allah Himself, that's it. Then automatically you'll get all the other secondary things. So there's no need. How much thawab? How much reward for this action? What benefit is there? What wisdom is behind it? No, no, no. Whenever you do any good pious deed, even if it's a minor small scale, like you're walking, and in the way you see a twig on the pavement, straight away make the niyyah first. Allah, I'm removing this twig for your happiness, Allah. For your happiness. Otherwise I could have just walked past. If you want to give somebody water to drink, immediately make the intention. Why? Because thousands of things can deviate you. Oh, I'm doing this for somebody. I'm helping someone. I'm doing an action for somebody. Oh, I want this to happen. If I do this today, favor him today, he'll do me a favor tomorrow. If I do this, then maybe he'll like me. All these feelings waste a person's actions. Only and only that amal, that action, doesn't matter how great an amal you're doing. You're making an hospital. You're constructing a hospital. And in the hospital, the ill people, the patients are coming for a cure. You've made the hospital, you made everything a big complex. But if in that construction there's even a hair's width of a thought or an intention in your heart that through this I'll get a benefit, or from here this will happen, then the Quran says clearly, لَا تُبْتُلُوا أَمْوَالُكُمْ. Do not waste your actions. There you have wasted, you've destroyed it. In Allah's court, there's nothing. There's nothing. So one thing always remember, from our mouths we need to say, so that you can get rid of shaitan immediately, that Allah, I'm doing this action for your radha. After that, doesn't matter how many waswasa come, whispers, and the pious elder say that definitely you will have no pride in the action, because you've said it, Allah has heard it. Allah is khabir and basir. Allah knows the feelings of your heart. You can't change the feelings of your heart. You're coming, maybe there's some other intention in your heart. But if you make Allah your witness and say, Allah, I'm doing this action for your radha, for your pleasure. I made a hospital, I gave water to this person to drink, I served a person, I helped a person, assisted a person. Definitely, definitely make the intention solid at that time. That Allah, you give me the tawfiq to do this good deed. What do we need to do? We say, Allah, I'm going, I'm sitting in this majlis. For what reason? For your radha, your pleasure. No other objective is there in me. There's no other objective. No other, any action you do. For example, this point came in between when I started. So what was I saying in the beginning? That Allah has given us amal, actions, okay? So amal, actions Allah has given to us. For which purpose has Allah told us to do deeds? Why do we practice good actions? For thawab, for reward, for jannah? No. For Allah's radha, we do actions. Repeat this. You know, amal, Allah says, you practice amal so you can earn my happiness. Whatever action there is. There's no other objective in life. Allah says, do actions for Marabda. The great actions Allah has given to us. But Allah's given us another big favor as well. Subhanallah. On the human being. One amal, which is the greatest deed Allah has given to us. Say Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. That deed today I'll share with you. One amal, one action, it is greater than all these other actions, all the amal under the sun. They are all dependent. Salah, fasting, hajj, zakat. All actions are dependent and are underneath this one great action. Remember this. That's such a great amal Allah Ta'ala has given to us, that all other actions and deeds, they focus towards this one action. They point to this one action. That's a fantastic action. A great action. And with that action, your objective, immediately you attain it, Allah Ta'ala straight away immediately becomes happy with the seven when he implements this one action. Immediately Allah says, I'm happy with you. Allah says that this action is such that I gave you this action for this purpose, that I want, I desire, that I want to be happy with you. That's why I've given you this action. So it's at the top of the pyramid, at the top of the triangle, it's the top of the pile, this action, which all other deeds are dependent. Yes, it's not hidden. It's not hidden that we don't know it. Allah's announced in the Quran with regards to this action. Allah's announced clearly. Such a great action. Why should Allah hide this action? So that definitely those people who for Allah's pleasure, they want to make effort and they are afraid of death. And they say, Allah, when I leave this world, I just want the benefit that Allah, you are happy with me. Then those people, they'll give their all for this action. They will give their all for this action. And without that action, a person cannot reach to any stage close to Allah. Nowhere. And Allah Ta'ala has announced it in the Quran clearly. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Look how clearly Allah has announced. Allah has not given the order directly. Allah says, you, O Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you with your blessed tongue announce this. I want to hear you. It's your ummah. They are those people who follow you. Everything, they believe in you. So you with your blessed tongue announce about my rada, my pleasure. So Allah Ta'ala indirectly has given, said to the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that, "Qul, oh you Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you announce that. Tell the people that, do you love Allah? Ask them, the people. Ask your ummah, your nation, Zayd and Bakr, that oh, I do this and I do that. Allah says that this is the top of the pyramid. I pray salah, I do other actions, I fast, I do this, I do that. I claim I'm a perfect, I do everything. But ask the person this, that do you love Allah? And the sign of Allah's love is just one. If you want to please Allah, there's only one sign that leads to Allah's pleasure. You'll have salah, you'll have the action. Allah says, now these things won't please me. There's only one sign that can give my pleasure. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ. That if you love Allah, then what's the sign? فَتَّبِعُونِي. Then obey and follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Follow me, said Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Obey me. Follow me, follow my tariqah. Subhanallah. Whoever is doing this, and then he does other actions after that, then the Quran testifies, 100% Allah says, I'm happy with you then. Then because in your heart is the love of Allah, definitely you desire Allah's nearness. Most definitely you want to attain Allah's nearness and closeness. You try, your salah is for this reason. Your fasting is for this reason. Your hajj is for this reason. All your actions, Allah says, I accept. In other words, all actions depend on what? Fattabi'uni. The acceptance of all deeds depends on one thing. Fattabi'uni. Obey Muhammad sallam. Follow my sunnah, said Rasulullah sallam. Obey me and follow me. Imitate me, Allah announces in the Quran. Then Allah says there reward after that. That when you do actions like this, yaghfir lakum dhunubakum, subhanallah. There is not a small reward, Allah says after that. What will I do? Allah says, I will forgive all of your sins. And when will this occur? When was this announced, subhanallah? When a human being, when he goes to Allah, in the hereafter he arrives to Allah, and whilst he followed and imitated and followed the Prophet in his life, Allah says, that I forgave all your sins. On your right side, you tried your hardest to attain my nearness, Allah says. That's the first reward. Allah says, that all sins will be forgiven. Yaghfir lakum dhunubakum. What a great result. What a great status. Yuhbibkumullah. Before that, Allah says, "Yuhbibkum Allah." First reward, "Fattabi'uni yuhbibkum Allah." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when you obey me, follow me, imitate me, follow me because you want Allah's love. Then listen, يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. Then Allah says, you don't need to say that you love me. Allah says, I will start loving you. يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. What a fantastic result. Is there any greater status than this that we need to acquire? Is there any greater action than this? That Allah Himself gives a guarantee that I will make you my beloved. And then, يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبُكُمْ. Your sins, all of them I'll forgive as well at the same time. Nothing left, no issues, no worries. Such a beloved you'll be of mine. And who are like this? These are the awliya Allah. That is the title, Abdul Qadir Jalani. Their names are Mujaddad al-Afthani. These are those same people whose the Quran testifies about these people. That these are those individuals who they love me, Allah Ta'ala said. This was the real of why? Because they did ittiba, they imitated the Prophet ﷺ whilst they were living in their lives. Ittiba, obedience, imitation of who? The Holy Prophet ﷺ. Kul, total obedience and following. Not just one thing, total life. So this is the one amal that Allah Ta'ala has announced, that if really you want to please Allah, fine, you have salah, you keep fast, you perform hajj, you do other actions, all fine. But Allah says, Allah will be pleased through one action. What is that? To follow the sunnah and tariqah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whoever leaves this and departs this world, Allah has announced about that person as well. He prays salah, and he does hajj upon hajj, and he gives zakat and charity, and he's done big actions and ibadah, he's famous in the world, he does this and that and this. Allah Ta'ala says, I've announced about that person as well, that this is not the basis of my love. If you love me, Allah says, then I've told you the sign, the person who loves me, then definitely he will obey and imitate the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It cannot be that he doesn't do that, if he loves Allah. This is a guaranteed sign. It cannot be. Don't even imagine that you love Allah without the following of the Prophet ﷺ. Then Allah said, those individuals who they give dawah, I'm this, I'm pious, I'm ashik of Rasulullah, I'm a lover of the Prophet ﷺ, I'm this and that, I do dhikr, and tears come out of my eyes, my heart is melting, and thousands of dramas and imitation and false talk. Yes, many things they present in the court of Allah, shaitan deviates them. Left and right, you'll see. Left and right, you see, many people you'll see like this. In one saf, you know, the front row. In that front row, you'll see this verse of the Quran. And we should analyze, all of us, I'm not talking about some specific verse, me, you, all of us who stood there in the front row, let's look in ourselves. Which hal are we stood on? We're doing sujood, prostration. Are we pleasing Allah? Is my salah pleasing Allah or not? Most definitely, if you are imitating the sunnah and stood there, then your salah is pleasing Allah. So this has been also announced clearly. Don't look at your amal. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu atiullah wa atiur rasul la tubdilu amwalakum. Look at this full announcement. Woe people of belief, faith, Allah and His Rasul, obey them and follow them. If you obey and follow my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you'll be successful. If you don't obey and follow him, la tubdilu amwalakum, then you are wasting your actions. You are destroying your deeds. You are wasting them. You are wasting your good deeds. You're doing nothing else. I'm not telling you from my tongue. I'm presenting to you the Quran's message. This is the straight path. This is the sabak. We are revising the lesson. Don't fall into a false trap. I'm this. I practice. I'm pious. No, nothing at all. Only one sign of obedience. One sign of success. And that, what is the greatest action? Ittaba'i Rasul, obedience to the Prophet. Atiullah wa Rasul faqad faza fawzan azeema. The success is only for those people who will go in the hereafter on the day of judgment. They'll die, people pray their janazah, they'll dig their graves and lower them. That person will be successful who lived his life in obeying and following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After that, doing khatam, what's the benefit? Doing this many Quran, khatam, that khatam. Allah forgive everybody, alhamdulillah. We are do dua that all mu'mins get forgiven, mu'min, mu'minat. Everyone, we're weak. But brothers, the announcement, at least do that action, the precondition, the mufassirin, the commentators on this verse have done a great tafsir commentary. They say from this is proven that ittiba'i Rasul is fard, it's compulsory to follow the Prophet ﷺ. Without this, there's no iman, there's no Islam. Without ittiba'i Rasul, there's no iman, there's no Islam. Nobody, there's no standard of Islam. Straightforward tafsir, I'm telling you. So what does that person think? That I'm a wali Allah, friend of Allah, I'm pious, I'm high, I do kashf, I feel visions, I have dreams, I have murids, I have students, people follow me, people accept me, whatever I say or feel, it happens in a minute. Forget that. Allah says he has no iman, no Islam, so how will be a pious person, that person, if he has no iman, Islam? He is 100% shaitan. He is shaitan, that person. Where's the spirituality come? Where's the piety come from? Tell me. All of these things, where have they come from? Yes, he is 100% deception for the human being. So what a great statement the Quran is saying. Even if today our eyes do not open, we do not realize that if we discard the way of the Prophet, we say we are successful. Subhanallah. Is there any bigger deception of shaitan than this? Tell me. What a great delusion in this world a person is in. Yeah, I've got kashf visions. I went to that wali and he had kashf and vision. He said this and next minute this happened. I went to a wali Allah and he did this and he cured me within a minute. He knew about me. I went and nobody else could cure me. And he said straight away this and I was cured. The people who don't have iman, who are low faith, they arrive to these places. Oh yeah, he's pious. They don't look. Does he imitate the Prophet? Is there sunnah? There's no sunnah. No, no, no. Let's get the cure from him. No, no, let's get the solution from him. That person goes into shirk because his iman is so weak. Allahu Akbar. Think for a moment. Think for a moment. Look at our situation. Iman is finished at that time. The people, people who are practicing, they lose their deen due to the difficulty and problems. They go to the wrong people. They go to Hindus. They go to non-Sharia practicing people. My friends, the pious will say that even if you pass away, that's fine. But don't take the assistance of the ghair. Don't take the assistance and help of the ghair. If you pass away, you'll be shaheed through the difficulty or the disease. Yes, the straight path that's been given to you, that Allah Ta'ala has prescribed to you, take hold of it by Rasul. That's why the biggest fitna today, we are in the era of fitna. You will get told to do everything, but you won't be advised to make your face according to sunnah, your shakal according to sunnah, the libas, the attire. To do this, we don't have the courage. Thousands of waswasa, thousands of restrictions. Why? Because this is the biggest fitna today. And the salah you pray, don't you? Or you do other actions, don't you? You pray juz of the Quran, don't you? So many part of the Quran. You are this, you are pious, you are a good man. But here a person, Allah has announced clearly in the Quran. La tabtulu amwalukum. You are destroying your deeds with your own hands. All your amal are being wasted if you do not live your life according to the sunnah and according to the lifestyle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Say subhanallah. What a fantastic message Allah is giving to us today. Imagine. Without parda, women are walking around. Yes, I'm pious. I pray salah. I do this. And their body, there's no clothes on their body. They don't cover their body. There's no hisab. There's no sunnah tariqah. And their libas, I'm this. I'm that. We have read this. We've read this meaning of this. But there's no sunnah tariqah in their life. They don't know what to do. And tasbih, thousands of tasbihs you can tell people to do. Thousands of wazifas. Let me know what to pray and recite. Tell me to do wazifas and prayers and chillas. Tell them do this, sit there 40 days in the corner, do this ibadah, and you just recite this and pray this, and this jinn will come and you'll be successful. This is called chilla. 40 days, do an amal. When you sit down for 40 days and do an amal, what's that defined as? A chilla. Chilla, people doing this, I'm doing chilla, I'm pious, I pray for 40 days, I recite this, I pray this, I read this, and this will happen, you'll be pious, you'll feel good. And this man, he's done many chillas, and he's pious, and she's done many chillas, she's got jinns, and she controls the jinn. Jinnat, what will you do with the jinn? Will the jinnat introduce you to Allah? This is shirk. As a Mujaddid al-Aftani, what a great wali Allah. Look at him. Look at, maybe you've heard of this event before. I'm telling you now the standard of the buzurgs, the pious people. How did he become Mujaddid? We pray salah, he also prayed salah. We did many few hajj. He didn't even do hajj. Say subhanallah. He didn't even perform hajj. And we do hajj and hajj and hajj and become mad. Alhamdulillah, it's a good thing. I'm not saying it's wrong to do hajj. May Allah give us all the tawfiq time and time again. Do hajj, do umrah time and time again. Time and time again, do ziyarah. This is a great tawfiq that Allah Ta'ala gives. Great ni'mah, great gift and treasure. I'm not saying this is a wrong thing. No, there's no doubt. These are great things. But how should you do them? Via practically obeying the Prophet. That's the meaning of what I'm trying to say. What great honor, go to the Kaaba and look at the Kaaba and go in front of the Rosa Mubarak and touch the Jali, the holy fence, subhanallah, and do sajda on the earth where the Prophet used to tread and walk, where his Qadman Sharifan, where his holy feet used to walk, and a person does sajda there and prays there. Is there great honor than that? Rather, time and time again, the whole life, if you do that, it's a great honor. But But acceptance will be only when in your life, in your whole life, you, according to his lifestyle, you say you love him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then live your life according to him. Otherwise, what's the point of doing Hajj? You come and do Hajj, come back, same old sins opposing the Sunnah. So this is the point of what I'm trying to say. Otherwise, can there be great actions than those ibadah? Allah gives you money, go! Do Umrah, pilgrimage, alhamdulillah, do Hajj. The amount of money Allah gives you, do it. And make this your occupation. That this becomes occupation, going, coming back, going, come back, then coming back, and then same thing again. Same thing again. So there could be no greater than that if you go and come back, go and come back. What a great action in life. But may not be that your faces of the ghair strange people, your libas of the ghair people, and your circumstances of the ghair people, that this will be azab for you. You have gone to displease them. Rather than attaining love, you are going to displease and cause anger. And they are becoming angry and displeased with you. So this point I'm saying, very clearly I'm saying this, and I'm telling you a confirmed point. I'm sitting in the masjid and I'm speaking to you clearly. That the person who goes in this halat and appearance, me, at the moment in the masjid, I'm speaking to you and telling you that take away this deception and delusion, that you are going there to displease and anger Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, that Umrah and Hajj is not accepted. He is extremely unhappy and he's given pain and difficulty when a person goes to him in that appearance, with the wrong appearance, wrong face, wrong muamalat, then he's given pain and difficulty. That what is this individual doing in his life? So what's the point of going like that? So first correct yourself, prepare yourself, then go on Hajj and Umrah. Because who I'm going to, I need to please him. I need to attain his du'as. Ya Rasulullah Sallam, do du'a this for me, do du'a this for me. That if you are giving him anger and displeasure, what will you attain from that? Tell me. Say Subhanallah. So this is the most important point. The more the pious people before us, they this is the ibadah that they were made pious through. No other ibadah had. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. If really, kul in kuntum, what does that mean? That if you really love Allah, Allah is saying this in the Quran clearly, that if you really you love Allah, then why don't you practice the sunnah? Ask this person, kul, ask. Yes, I want anything. Allah says, you, O my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is your ummah. Ask them, that what claim, empty claim are they making that they love Allah? What empty claim are they making that I'll do dua to Allah and I want to attain this, what I want? How can they make a false claim that I want to prostrate to Allah? How and what states this? What standard? By being your disobedient ummati? By leaving your way? That by leaving your way, he's trying to come to me. Allah says, you are the wasila, O Muhammad. You are the wasila for these people to come to me, Allah says. Allahu Akbar. The wasila, the means. You are cutting the means and you're trying to go direct to Allah? No. Subhanallah. What a very good statement, huh? Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that who are you asking, O Ummati? That if Musa Alayhi Salaam was present today, he told his Sahaba, who was Musa Alayhi Salaam, he was one of the greatest prophets. Musa Alayhi Salaam. He attained the Sharia. He is not a lower scale prophet. The whole Quran is mentioning the Musa alayhi salam, half the Quran, more than that. And he's the beloved of Allah. He used to speak to Allah, Kaleem Allah, and have discussions with Allah. He was close to Allah, high status. And the Prophet Muhammad said, even if Musa alayhi salam was present on the earth today, even he would have to do ittaba of my sunnah. Without that, he could not succeed. No way out. No way at all could he succeed. Then for me and you, what choice do we have? Tell me. So brothers, before dying, get rid of this delusion that we, our face should be like that, our dress look should be like that, our attire should be like that. Don't make your face or dress or attire like that. That gives pain to the Prophet, because our deeds are presented to him. And some places, some people have aqeedah that the Prophet subhanAllah, he is seeing, if you have aqeedah of this point, hazir, nazir, then why do you do actions if you're saying that this is the aqeedah you have? If this is the aqeedah you have that he is watching and seeing, then you are doing actions that he is seeing, you are astaghfirullah. Then why do you do deeds that go against them? We have this aqeedah that our deeds are delivered and presented to the Prophet. The angels take them. So how much pain he must have. That look at my ummati. He says he's my mahbub. He says he loves Allah. He wants Allah's love. And he wants du'as from me. And look at his face. Look at his clothes. Look at his attire. Look at the circumstances in his home. Is this criticism? No, I'm talking about love here. That at least somebody's telling us or telling you. This is not criticism. At least the message has been delivered in this era of fitna, so that Allah Ta'ala can open somebody's heart, some sister, some brother, some man or some woman, their heart is open. That's the reason why we sin. This is a majlis of tazkiyah, no criticism. I'm not the mudari here, magician, I'm showing you some game or kashf or karamat. Kashf and karamat are jais, they can be shown. Listen, I'll tell you a waqia, an event. As a Mujaddad al-Afthani, rahmatullahi, what a great wali Allah of his time and what a great pious elder he was. So a person came to him and he was also his colleague, class fellow, from Hazrat Baqi Billah, who was his sheikh, he was also a student, and he had a high grade status in Maqam, and he was wali as well. So when Hazrat Baqi Billah passed away, so Hazrat Mujaddad al-Afthani mashallah had a great Maqam. So everybody turned to Mujaddad al-Afthani. So he also came, and he was a high standard, high status, pious. When Mujaddad al-Afthani saw him, then he had kashf. And hala overcame him. This happens to some walis of Allah, they come overcome with emotions. You know, a person who is a true, a person who is a real wali Allah, the hala overtakes the person, passion and jazb, and not that person who's false, who starts crying. When a person's in hal, he doesn't know where he is. The person who's, when he's in the state of hal, he doesn't know. If he knows he's sitting here, then he's not in hal, he's in shaitan, because he should control himself. So for us in the Naqshbandi tariqah, that is zab, it suppresses the hal. Doesn't matter how passionate a person, he should be silent in front of his shaykh. Very careful, control himself, don't speak loudly, don't let the emotions overtake you. This is the adab. Sometimes a person doing zikr, he feels like I want to shriek, or he wants to say loudly, control yourself, suppress the desires. Yes? Yes, so in the heart of a person, he should suppress the jazb and the passion. And don't say anything from your tongue that you're doing bedabi or disrespect the majlis. Say subhanallah. So alongside that, in parallel, I'd just like to make these little points. So even in this masjid, a person sometimes feels like he's saying Allah's name is so great that he overwhelms a person, becomes so happy and overwhelmed and passionate, and he doesn't know about himself fully at that time. Say subhanallah. He doesn't know where he's sat, where am I, he's intoxicated. After a few moments, his eyes open, he says, "Oh, I'm sat in the masjid, do astaghfar, I didn't do bedabi, Allah forgive me. I don't want to be disrespectful." After, come, that if you fall into unconsciousness, you don't know, you're overwhelmed, or you're lying down, whatever, that's a different state, when a person's overwhelmed. But for this, do you know what you need to do? And today, the most important and biggest thing, first and foremost in this position, to attain this position, is rizki halal, your earnings must be halal. In other words, mutashabba, nothing doubtful should even have gone into you. The person who's life is like this, that not even a doubtful musibah, then he becomes into a hal. That he gets overwhelmed with passion and jazb, and he has these emotions. But a person who's half up, 50-50 like us, who doesn't eat totally halal, and he says, quickly, I need to go, I need to watch a program, I need to telephone, look at my phone. Hasab's done a long zikr, I don't know why it's so long, I need to do other things, it's too long, it's too hard for me, this time's occurred now. Zikr's not stopping, and majlis is not stopping, then what halal would that person consume? What will he know about what is pure? So tazkiyah is happening today or not, tell me. Subhanallah, is it happening? Yes, that's the reason behind what we're here for. So you don't understand the point? So Hazrat Mujaddad al-Afthani, when that colleague of his came, the hal overtake him, when you go to the wali Allah, obviously there's effect of Hazrat Mujaddad al-Afthani. If you eat in halal, then the hal overcomes the person. He was such a big wali himself, the other person, the colleague, and kashf came. And kashf is honest vision. For example, even now, I can make the roof go off. This is kashf. Yes, that is the power that Allah Ta'ala gives, the tasarruf to the friends of Allah. That, for example, if I am a wali Allah or ghost or kutab, then I could also make these walls shake through the eyesight. That's the power that a wali Allah. But what can we do? We don't have this thousands of tasbihs we do and dhikr, but inside our mamlaat are not correct. But that is the effect. Those people who do dhikr of Allah, but their mamlaat in accordance to the sunnah, and inside, internally, externally, they are pure. That one tasbih, you do thousands of tasbih. One tasbih, rather once time you say Allah's name, you have so much jalal and power in the eyes. If you look at somebody with focus, then the doors would disappear. The doors would disappear with that power. That's the power of what? It's not the power of that individual. It's the name of Allah inside that person. The pious elders, this is their gatherings. I've learned this from, so I'm sharing that with you. So then what happened? That when he came, he went into jazb. And the earth started to shake at that time. Say subhanallah. The earth started to shake. What a great example. For example, if I now make the earth shake, you say, oh, he's a wali Allah. Oh yeah, we accept him. Because that person, he's overwhelmed the other people, that the earth starts to shake and he's coming in. So Hazrat Mujaddad al-Afthani sat in front of him. So he was also Mujaddad, the reviver, he knew. So when the earth started to shake due to that wali Allah who came, he was in jazz of, what did Hazrat Mujaddad al-Afthani do? Say subhanallah. He just took his miswak out. What did he do? He took his miswak. Now one small piece of wood, look at its power, because it's connected to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the whole kashf of the wali Allah was jais, permissible. His tasarruf, his effect, his power, his influence was jais. And the earth could not withstand the piety and the power of that wali Allah. So it started to shake. But as I said, ula mal, the greatest action is what? Sunnat-e Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Hazrat Mujaddad al-Aftani, what did he do? He took his miswak out and he put it next to him. And suddenly the earth stopped shaking and his eyes opened, the wali Allah. And Hazrat Mujaddad al-Aftani said that we are also capable of doing what you're doing. If I can do this as well, what you've done. All you did this was that the earth started to shake. And if I do tasarruf, then in the Qabristan, the graveyard, all the deceased can rise from the dead. Hazrat said this. But despite all of these feelings and emotions, Rasulullah's ittiba, obedience, is the greatest of deeds. And this is the power and the value of the sunnah. So you see this now? That one sunnah, miswak. And we all are alive, we don't even follow the sunnah. We say our du'as are not accepted, we don't follow the sunnah. This is not happening in my life, I can't achieve things, I can't go somewhere, etc. Think about the sunnah. When we go to Allah, what will be our hal? On which part of the grave will we get up? What will be the state of our graves? For the sake of Allah, may our eyes open so we realize the truth, how much value there is of the sunnah. All darajat, status of paradise is through whoever follows the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah more, whoever is closer to him more, whoever does amal on the sunnah more. Even the smallest sunnah he practices like it's a big mountain, you'll be the highest stage of Jannah. You'll be closer to Allah. Ma kana. Rasulullah said himself, man habba sunnati, man habani, whoever follows my sunnah loves him, man habani, kana ma'i fidelati. Whoever loves me, I will love him, whoever follows my sunnah, and whoever I love, I will take him with me into paradise. This is not some minor statement that the Prophet is saying. What a great statement, hadith. One miswak. Another event I'll share with you that I've just remembered. Sahaba Ikram's era, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, I think. And there was a Jamaat that had gone on an expedition, and they couldn't overtake that place. I think it was Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, that was the commander. They couldn't overcome the opposition. And mashallah, they were all experienced people and they're thinking, what's happening here? We've been here for so long, we can't overtake this territory. Then they said, Hazrat, there's a bad situation here. We can't overtake, we can't win. We're not victorious. We don't know that the enemy, we're not overtaking that person. We're not overcoming the opposition. What was the reply? Subhanallah, say Subhanallah. And he didn't say, the Hazrat Umar radiallahu didn't say that you have less soldiers, you have less resources, or you have not enough of this or not enough of that. What was his response? That he said, listen to me. Then the advice came. He said, tell them that there's definitely a sunnah that you're not implementing in your life. The whole system has stopped. Ooh, he was a great sahabi. What a great companion. All the companions there were great. And we pray salah without the sunnah. Tell me. Yes, oh, I prayed salah though, isn't it? It's accepted, isn't it? We say, what kind of standard of iman do we have today? Tell me. On there, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu saying that you have left a sunnah, you've discarded the sunnah. What a great state of sunnah. They didn't say, is it fard, is it wajib, mustahab, no game. They said, you are leaving a sunnah, he said. They sat down and thought, we say today, is it wajib, or is it sunnah this, or is it sunnah that, or is it sunnah that? No games, they were all companions. They knew the standard. In their eyes, every action of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the greatest. And what sunnah mean? Imitation. Imitation. To imitate my Mahbub, Allah says. Imitate him. So then what happened? When this message came to them, reply, they started thinking, sunnah? We are sahaba. We the companions. What sunnah are we discarding? Subhanallah. So Allah Ta'ala gave them, that they realized that for some days we were so busy in our expedition that we did not utilize miswak. They understood straight away. They left everything. They left the battle. All of the sahaba noble companions, they climbed the tree, say subhanallah. They all climbed the trees. They broke the branches, the twigs, and they started doing miswak. Soon as they started doing miswak, then the enemies, when they saw this, what's happening here? Ooh, they thought that they're sharpening their teeth. Their weapons are finished. Maybe they're going to bite us with their teeth, with their jaws. They became scared. Allah Ta'ala instilled the fear, the awe into them. And they left everything, they ran away, and they overtook that territory, subhanAllah. So will we do amal on the sunnah? This is not story I'm telling you. This is the preparation of the grave I'm advising you. Today people laugh at those who wear the imamah. Today they laugh. What is this you're wearing? Why is you doing this drama in your life? They say the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah. They even if you do it by pretense, even then it's accepted. Yeah, even if you do a drama and pretend to follow the sunnah, it'll be accepted. But all of this we've done, what is your niyyah? Go back to the beginning point, say loudly, what was it I said in the beginning? For Allah's pleasure I am doing this. No other reason. For Allah's radha, I'm wearing the imamah. For Allah's happiness, I'm keeping the bed. For Allah's happiness, I'm wearing the white libas. Allah, you be happy, I need nothing else. Oh, you look so nice, you are pious. He says, oh, you take your piety. I'm not interested in that. I'm doing this to please Allah. If Allah is happy, then my salah will be accepted, my dua will be accepted, my difficulties will go far, my problems will go far. And the difficulties that go to jahils, for amils, to magicians and jinnat, through one sunnah, it discards all the problems. But in our houses with something else, in the masjid with something else, and if we go for a walk, then with something else, and in the park, when we go to wander with something, other libas, O servant of Allah, why don't you leave all these colors and make one color in your life, bring one color permanent into your life, where, that for example, there's dust on your shoes, no problem. If people swear at you, fine. If people say bad to you, fine. If they say to you, fine, no problem. If you've got problem, then go. Go from here. Otherwise, become a man here. If it's difficult for you, then migrate. But if you become a man, the more difficulty you bear in following the sunnah, one sunnah thawab is 100 shaheed thawab. 103. That's why I said, it wasn't said, do it in the previous generation, leave this generation. No, Allah Ta'ala wanted to elevate our darajat. Allah, the Sahaba was shocked, which qawm will it be that we get one shaheed thawab, they'll get 100 shaheed thawab. But Rasulullah said, that will be the generation at that time, difficult. That I won't be with them. I won't be sat with them. They will just hear my words. They will just read the hadith. And their love will be such that just you are watching me on my sahaba and practicing, but they just heard my sunnah. They'll take such a big risk. They will take the swears and the shoes will be thrown at them. People will mock them and jest them. They will bear the ridicules, but they won't discard the sunnah of Rasulullah. They won't leave that. This is called love. And if Allah Ta'ala sent us in this territory environment, Allah sent us. Hey, who sent us? Hey, tell us. So this is Allah millions of times grateful that Allah is testing us. That here we get the highest darajat by practicing the sunnah, we are in Jannah. Or do we go into wretchedness and curse life? Allah says, I gave you great opportunity. There's that person who sits in Medina and does amal, practices the sunnah in front of the Kaaba. That's the environment. He will do that. But there's another individual who's in the streets of Bolton in this attire. He goes to the hospital. He goes to work tomorrow. He goes to his shop, his business place, wearing this labas. All four sides, people are laughing at him, mocking him, the ghair people. And someone's criticizing, laughing, mocking. Just he says, I'm doing this for Allah's rada. Allahu Akbar. Amazing. Tell me, is there any greater ibadah than this? He doesn't pray tahajjud. He doesn't pray shirak. He doesn't pray chasht. He doesn't recite Quran. There's no greater amal than this for that person. The greatest amal he's doing. Greatest amal. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. Tell me, this is the Rasulullah's sunnah. And through this we attain Allah's love. Through this we'll attain everything success. So my brothers, my colleagues, my dear beloveds, practice the sunnah. Do amal on the sunnah. Explain to your kids. From the young life, make them aware, conscious. This is the duty of the mother and the father. And request them to detach from the ghair things. Make them love the libas of the sunnah. We have no enmity with anybody. We're not against anybody. We're not competing with them. We're just talking about our culture, our lifestyle. Because we want our children to learn and become lovers of Rasulullah's ittiba, so that he can implement the deen. So that he or she, our children, going to Jannah, and they can allow us to go into Jannah as well. Will we do this, brothers, this action? Yes. Explain to the children. Greatest sabak for the children is this. We are fine. We make them do hifz of Quran. We make them do other actions. Very good. But very few people are there who prepare their children for the sunnah. That madrasa. What is that madrasa where the children do not wear imamah? Tell me. What is that madrasa where the Holy Prophet's sunnah is being discarded? Because these are those places where we have to learn and do amal on the deen. Once I remember in Karachi, I had gone to Karachi, and I'm a jahil, ignorant person. I'm not capable. So there, There were quite a lot of people. There was a gathering and there were discussions like this. And ulama ikram, noble scholars came, mashallah. And I was given the honor, the scholars came. And the dust on the shoes of the ulama, the respected scholars. Their shoes on my head, mashallah, they're honorable people. And there was a big madrasa there. Darul Ulum, big Darul Ulum institution. Maybe 2,000-3,000 students, ulama study there. So there was the function. The person said to me that, please, you go there. And I started to smile. What can I go? How can I go there and speak? He said, no. That they persisted and big, high standard people came, status. I said, okay, I'll go. I don't know how to speak. I'll arrive there. So I'm talking about the sunnah here. So I was very ashamed. I said, how can I go in front of these great people and personalities? How can I go and sit there and speak? So I went there and they seated me there and all people are there. MashaAllah, high status people, Jamaat Bukhari, people who study Bukhari, they're graduating, MashaAllah, Tirmizi and Sunnah Kitabs. So, and that came in my mind, whatever came to my mind, I said, it wasn't a fake thing, whatever comes to the heart of you say, then there's asar, there's effect. Remember this. So first and foremost, I said, Alhamdulillah, such a great Jamaat, Allah sent me here to this gathering. Then I said, that whatever Allah has instilled in my heart, I'll share with you. I said, look, the point is this, that I am not capable of speaking to you, but one thing is very sad for me. I have to say with sadness, I said, I'm sad about one thing, and I would like to make it apparent what I'm sad about. And I'm making it apparent what I'm sad about. I can't give you nasiha, I can't advise to you, I can't give a speech to you, because mashallah, you're a big Jamaat, you are doing the good work of the deen. And they respected me, and it was mutual. I said that I'm very sad about one point, that I, before I came to one, 2 days before with a child, I went to a school, and it was a convent school, and they taught English there. English school. When I went to that school, I entered there. Then every child there had worn a uniform. What was that uniform? They had a tie. They had whatever the uniform. They were tied and the blazer and their attire. I said, what's this? And they said, this is our uniform. I said, very good. Well done. That's their uniform, their discipline. That's their behavior. A uniform, a sign. And the head came, the principal came, said, look, he prays. Look, our children, how good they look. Look at this assembly. I said, yes, very good. Yes, yes. Discipline. And I came back, I saw that, and then today, I'm in the biggest Darul Uloom, Allah Ta'ala's institute, and the students have said, the Jamaat in front of me, whose uniform Allah's Nabi Sallam has defined, and inside that, I cannot see on the head of any one of these students the uniform. And I said, I'm sad about this. Then look at the difference here, that today the Ghair come, why are they overwhelming us? Because they are strict on their principles, and they are wrong. And today, even if you implement that, the first of all, they represent themselves that this is our discipline and behavior and rules. But how sad that where our deen is graduating, those people have to do tabligh and propagate the deen and go out into dunya. Today, I could not see the uniform amongst the people. I said, please give me permission. I seek leave and please don't be upset with me. And what we realize is that at that time, after that, Allahu Akbar, Imama had come onto the heads of everybody, subhanAllah. And all graduation was with Imamah. They said, after today, the Imamah will not come off our heads. Because inside our hearts have shaken with your words. No hadith, and you tell us no story. But you expressed your sorrow. And our Jamaat came into jazb and passion. And that's the point. That's what we have learned. Bukhari, what does it teach us? Imam Bukhari, Imam Malik, Tirmidhi, and Imam Shafi. All these scholars. And Allah Ta'ala created these great scholars. And all the Imams that came to the dunya, that was their duty. One, that you need to collate and propagate the sunnah of Rasulullah. Why are they so great? This Imam Abu Hanifa, why is he great? Imam Malik, why is he so great? Imam Shafi, why is he great? Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, why is he so great? Today, why do we keep repeating their names? Imam Bayhaqi, Imam Bukhari, why have they got great standards? Why? What was their sift, the quality? This was the quality that they ahya of the sunnah. They revived the sunnah. Through which Allah Ta'ala elevated the status. Today Bukhari, if he had not recorded Bukhari, then where would the sunnah have come to our life? If Tirmidhi was not there, then how would we learn that what is sahih hadith, what is the wrong hadith? Rasulullah, what did he do at that time, what did he not do? So automatically Allah Ta'ala created these such great personalities so that my Nabi Sallam's sunnah and his lifestyle and habits can be protected so that the qawms that come after, it's easy for them to imitate him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Say subhanAllah. Tazkiyah, is it happening? Purification? Yes, so how can it be that we don't do this? So what is the miracle of the sunnah? What's the achievement? We're talking about amal. If you want to please Allah, how many amal Allah has given to us? Salah, fasting, hajj, everything Allah has given to us. But for the time because you come to pray salah, you pray salah, you Allah please Allah, then you go. Then will you stay as a namazi? No, you can't pray salah ongoing, can you? But there, my Rabb has given us such a great thing that Rasulullah's sunnah is so miraculous that you're in the masjid, you're on the prayer mat. Even if you're not in the masjid, even if you're not on the prayer mat, you're not praying salah, you're not doing hajj, you're not doing any specific ibadah, but if you stood in the shop, in the attire, and you're doing amal on the tariq of the sunnah, even that is ibadah. The high status worship. So whoever practices sunnah, his every action from morning until night, totally is ibadah. Totally ibadah. And what ibadah is that? Yuhibbukumullah, through which Allah Ta'ala makes you His beloved. That's the ibadah you're doing when you're emulating the sunnah, morning to evening. Tell me. What a great reward Allah has given to the nation of the mu'mineen that we cannot imagine. That He's walking, smiling, sitting, even smiling and talking to His wife is ibadah. And if the wife puts in his mouth a new morsel of food, no problem. If the husband puts a morsel of food into the wife, why don't we give to each other morsel of food? Because we don't do amal on the sunnah, because we have enmity between each other. If there's love, then you give each other the pieces of food to eat. If you want to please the wife, ibadah. If the wife is pleasing the husband, ibadah. If the wife is sacrificing something for the husband, ibadah. If with a lot of difficulty, he's tired, and he asks for water, she goes and gets the water. Oh, it doesn't matter, I give my husband the water according to the sunnah. To please Allah, I give him water to my husband. For the sake of Allah, I obey his whatever, that will be the happy family. Wherever Rasulullah sunnah is present, there is no greater nur than that in the environment. I say this always, that if you have a kitab of the sunnah in the house, even that will create the light in that home. The kitab will. Say subhanAllah. MashaAllah, great discussion today. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to practice on this. Ameen. And may Allah make us, this subject is solid today. Whatever success will come is through ittaba'i sunnah. Whoever waswasa comes against this, then consider a shaitan who's destroying you. Whatever this, you will attain through the sunnah and start practicing on the sunnah. Do tawbah, repent from today. Allah, I thought my salah were great. My salah isn't even been accepted. La tubdulu amwalakum, that my ibadah is going into the drain. No, my parents, no, my face, no giving, no taking, no actions. At least correct my parents, at least correct my salah. Ah, one condition, one point. Allah is kareem, maswal inna Allah ghafoorur raheem. Allah said this as well. How? Allah says, today if I realize that all the salahs I prayed, that they were against the sharia, they were against the sunnah. And today I do tawbah, I repent to Allah. What about my previous salah? Allah says, all your previous salah will accept as well, Allah says. All your previous salah accepted due to the tawbah of today. Oh, Allah is kareem, merciful. He loves so much. He loves us so much. Allah says, your previous accepted, high status accepted. If there were mistakes, even they accepted. So brothers, do we do tawbah today? Yes, this is the point. The message has been delivered. Now, whoever wants akhirah, wants to enlighten his grave, then grab hold of the sunnah. Don't be two colors, two-faced, inside, outside, there. Don't be two-faced. Wherever is too difficult. And that if there's a condition that you have to come with this libas, for example, to hair occupation, you can do that. Where there's that it says, no, it's your choice due to being ashamed, due to hesitation. What will the people of the world say? No excuse. You say, yeah, if you have to go here to workplace, you have to come with this libas. Okay, fine. It's being forced there. Sharia gives ijazah there. That, for example, the condition you have to wear. For example, your job, you definitely have to keep the job and work. But as soon as you come back from work, then take that libas off. Yes, but where there's ijazah, you have freedom, it's up to you, nobody can stop you, then pray. Why do you do other things? What's the difficulty for you? Allah Ta'ala has melted your hearts, wear that libas. I'm ashamed. If you're ashamed, then there'll be shame there as well. Rasulullah said, yesterday you ashamed from my sunnah, today I will be ashamed of taking you to paradise. Yes, so go towards that, the right path. You say, go, you take your own path. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Wa sa'idu rishim.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المرسلين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا مولانا محمد وبارك وسلم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا حصلنا وجدنا ختمنا ودرا كل ذلك ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين النبيين صديقين شهداء وصالحين وحسن رفاق اللهم استقبلنا بسنته ونهانا بمحبته واشرنا بزمنته يا كريم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله. نعم.